You to take your Bible, turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, I meant to share with you Sunday evening to bring the introduction book back with you tonight, and I failed to do that. Some of you may have that with you. If you do, take it out. If you don't have it and you'd like a copy of it, you can see one of the ushers. They'll be happy to give you a copy of it as you leave tonight. If you do happen to have that book with you, turn to page number 35. Let me just encourage you with this. Until I get through this book, try to bring it with you on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings. Now, that doesn't mean that every Sunday and Wednesday evening I'm going to be in it, but just so you don't get caught off guard like you did tonight, okay? Page number 35, if you have your book with you. If not, you can just listen to this, and then you can go home and make sure I said it right when you get your book and read it later, all right? All these kind of things. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going through this book together about what kind of a church is this? Who are we? What do we believe? Where do we stand? How do we operate? And these are things that we're going through. Tonight, I speak to you on a topic that's a very touchy topic, and it is our money. Maybe I shouldn't put our there. Maybe I should put your money. That'd be more appropriate, wouldn't it? Tonight, we're going to look at this and how our church functions. Now, not everything, but just a few principles. I'm going to try to get as far as I can tonight. Hopefully, we'll get into the membership as well, our money and our membership, but we may not get any further than this. Now, you may find it interesting to know that money is spoken about in the Word of God more than heaven and hell combined. Did you realize that? It has also been reported that 20%, one-fifth of the Bible, speaks about money or stewardship. Money is God's creation. Therefore, it belongs completely to Him. He owns it all. Now, it's already awful quiet in here tonight, okay, friends? But this is something that we need to understand. As we approach money, something that can become a god to people. By the way, the New Testament tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money's the root of all evil. It says the love of it is. It's not money that gets us in trouble. It's the love of it that gets us in trouble. And what we see here, first of all, which is so basic, but yet it's so foundational, so fundamental, if you will, to your approach at money, is who does it belong to? Who owns it? See, there's two attitudes that people can have towards money. They can have this attitude: how much of my money am I going to give to God? Or how much of God's money am I going to keep for myself? You see the difference? And how you look at that will keep your attitude towards money where it needs to be. The Word of God says in Psalm 24:1, right there you're looking at it, says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." You know what God's saying? I own it all. That's what He's saying. He's saying the earth is mine, the fullness of it, the world and they that dwell therein. Haggai 2 verse 8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" In other words, He's saying if you have received something, you got it from somewhere else. The Bible says in Psalm 50 verses 10 through 12, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." Now get this, since God owns it all, He created it, He owns it all, He has the right to tell us what to do with it. Now with this said, there is no doubt in the Word of God that it is the will of God for God's people to give their tithe. A tithe simply means 10%, to give their tithe and free will offerings to the Lord through the local church. Now, friends, I'm not saying this to get money, because God has blessed this church. God is blessing this church. He has blessed it. He's continuing to bless it because you precious people are obeying the Lord. And because of that, this church can do more and more for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to bring some of this up at the end of the service. Stay tuned, all right? But the Word of God plainly teaches that you are to give your tithe and your offerings through the local church to the work of the ministry. Now, for instance, these TV evangelists, they'll, you know, some of them, of course, a lot of them are charismatic and believe if they just breathe on you and all these kind of things that you'll be healed unless you don't have enough faith for their breath to heal you. Of course, I've heard that their life verse is found in Jeremiah where it says, my breath is corrupt. But anyway, that's the reason people fall over whenever they breathe on them, you understand? But the fact, I'm making fun of them there, okay? It's okay, friends, all right? Because that's a bunch of junk's what that is. And let me tell you something. If your faith is what it takes to make you whole and make you and heal you and that your life's going to be completely perfect, no sickness, have a conversation with the Apostle Paul and you get to heaven. See what he has to say about it. And I'll guarantee you this. I'm glad I'm not going to be compared to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was struck with a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And you're going to tell me he didn't have enough faith to remove it? Come on, friends. Don't fall for that stuff. And let me say this to you. Don't send your money to a TV preacher. Don't do it, friends. Don't do it. That's not of God. It's not of God. By the way, call him to come see you when you're sick if you want him to come see you when you're sick. What am I saying to you? I'm not saying that for us. I'm saying in a general sense, God's plan was not to send your money to the television program. God's plan is to send your money through the local church that he established to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the will of God. Now, if you send your tithe and your offering to the local church, and then if the Lord lays on your heart to support that, or that's between you and God. But don't send your tithes to somewhere else other than the local church, whether it's this local church or the church, whatever you're affiliated with. It's not just this church, a church hopefully of like faith. That's the will of God for you to send your tithe through that local church and your free will offerings. Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Genesis 28, 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth. I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Matthew 23, 23, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. What ought they to have done? They should have paid their tithe. That's what he's saying. These you should have done, and not leave the other undone, you see. So he's putting his approval on the tithe, but not above these other things as well. He wants you not only to tithe, but he wants you to have judgment, mercy, and faith as well, you see. 2 Chronicles 31, 5, 6, and 10. As soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the fields, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings, get this, into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet have ye robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And that same passage talks about bringing the tithe into the storehouse, into God's house. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 38. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites. When the Levites shall take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes, right here, under the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. Now, notice this. We encourage those who call Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church your church home. If you consider this church your church home, then we encourage you with the scripture sanction the Scripture's approval, the Scripture's command, we encourage you to support this local church financially. Now get this. It's so important that you see this, because there are so many people who misrepresent churches like ours. They'll say things like this. They always preach on money. Question, is that true? I'll preach on it when I'm going through books like this book, or a book when God deals with it. I'll preach on it, because you cannot preach the whole counsel of God and bypass money. You can't do it. You can't do it. But they try to say it's all about money. It's all about money. All they're trying to do is get more money. That is so far from the truth. And let me say this to you. There may be some churches like that, and there may be some preachers like that. If you'll send me your love gift, I'll breathe on this handkerchief and send it to you in the mail. And if you'll just put it on your arthritic knee and believe enough, you'll be jumping jacks like you did as a teenager. Now, I have a high question about somebody like that, friends. And I'm telling you, we are not asking for you to give money here unless you call this church your church home. And if you do, we're not asking you to send your money here to get more money. We are asking you to send your money here to God's house so you can have God's blessing on your life. God cannot bless you if you're not a tithing Christian. He cannot bless you if you do not give above the tithe to free will offerings. Now, that's between you and the Lord, what those are. A major one that we encourage everybody to give to, that's a free will offering above the tithe, is faith promise. That goes to missionaries around the world. Now, let me give you some principles and procedures that we follow here at Buffalo Ridge. Now, these are not all the principles and procedures, but these are some of the principles that you have in front of you, just to show you some things here. First of all, the Board of Deacons and the pastor serve as the budget committee. The church adopts a budget at the annual church business meeting each September. We just did that. We give the budget out, we look at it, we vote on it. The budget is based on a realistic expectation of church income. In other words, we're not going to see that church income is coming in at this and then have a budget that's $1 million over it. I mean, friend, come on. I mean, that's not even common sense. Financial records, now get this, it's important for you to understand. Financial records, with the exception of personal contributions, are open to church members. In other words, you can ask. You can ask if you're a church member. But if you ask, what does he give, you're not going to find out. That's none of your business. Amen. We do not give out personal information, but we do give out church information to church members. If you have a question, how much did we give to Faith Promise this year? How much has come in this month for Faith Promise? Questions like that. But if you say, now, I don't think he's tithing, would you go check and see if he's tithing for me, please? Come on, friends, come on. I mean, would you want us to give that information out on you? I don't think so. Next, the pastor leads the financial program and approves expenditures. Now, this is vitally important. Vitally important. I lead the financial program. That does not mean that I handle the money, because I don't. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I lead it. It's important that we don't have a four-headed monster. Somebody say amen, friends. Do you realize that if three or four or five people have the liberty just to make financial decisions, that is chaos. Somebody has to lead it. And God has put that on the office of the pastor. The church budget will be financed by the tithes and offerings given to the church. Giving records are maintained through the use of offering envelopes made available at the church. They're there in front of you. So giving only gifts given in these envelopes are recorded on the annual giving statements. This is for your tax purposes and things like that. If you want to have a giving statement turned into you, how much you gave and so on for your taxes, you need to use the offering envelopes, and you've got to put your name on it, okay? Don't just turn it in and put the amount and say, I didn't get my statement. No, we have to know who I'm talking about who gave that and so on. So you put your name, the amount, all that kind of stuff, and then those giving records are maintained through through those envelopes. And at the end of the year, they are recorded on an annual giving statement. And then these annual giving statements are provided to each contributor. You will get your own, okay? Now, Brother Bert, if I'm saying anything wrong, you just wave at me here, all right? But anyway, Brother Bert's doing a fabulous job with this ministry. Any active members should feel the liberty to discuss financial matters with the pastor and or deacons. If you're an active member, it's an open book. We don't do anything under the table. Everything's out in front of you. Okay? Everybody understand that? But you have liberty to discuss financial matters with us as the deacon board or with me as the pastor. This is important here. We will not sell, rent, or loan our mailing list or list of our contributors to any individual or ministry. That is not going to happen. We're not going to do that. We will provide an annual church report to our members and welcome questions throughout the year. The financial gifts of God's people will be kept strictly confidential. Now, this is important for you to understand this. The pastor will not touch the church money. I cannot sign church checks. I cannot count the offerings. And I cannot make church deposits. My hands are completely off of it. I got that from preacher. And I'm glad I got that. And I'll say this to you as well. I don't know who gives what. I don't know if you tithe. I don't know if you give to Faith Promise. I don't know if you give to anything. You know what that makes me? Free as a bird. Because I don't know who's giving what. Which means a pastor should not be partial toward anybody. But if I look out here and say, now there's a big tither. He's not tithing. They're giving the Faith Promise, don't want to offend him. You understand how that could be tempting there. You understand. It's not a temptation to me. Because I don't know if you're giving or not. So I like it that way. I really like it that way. Now, all expenditures exceeding the budgeted item by 10% must be approved by church vote. So let's say that we have a budgeted item for miscellaneous mission expense, okay? And say it's $30,000. And say that we were going to go over that 10%. Well, we cannot do that without bringing it to the church vote. Now, one thing that we do with our mission program is even the budgeted items that we've already voted under the budget, we still bring them before you anyway and say, hey, we'd like to send $3,000 to him. We've already voted on it in the budget. We're not over budget, but I still like you knowing where that money's going because it keeps missions before you, you see, okay? But we have to, for any over-budgeted item by 10%, we have to take a church vote before we can spend the money on it, okay? Offerings are received at all church services. Now, there's been an occasion where I didn't even have an offering. That is rare, but there's been an occasion like that when I really sense the Lord moving, and I just get up and preach, say, forget the offering, I'm going straight, you know, straight into it. So I'm not going to put myself in a box here, but all things normal, offerings are received at all church services. At least two people count offerings or collections. No money will be sent to support any person or ministry that is not in line with our doctrinal position. Faith Promise offerings are encouraged and completely given to home and foreign missions. Now, that's our money, okay? If you have further questions, you can come see me. This is a Wednesday night kind of teaching training session here. Most of the time I'm preaching through books or topical series. Tonight I'm going through this book. Now, we turn the page if you have the book. If you don't, just take my word for it, all right? Page number 38. And the top of that, we're starting tonight. We will not get very far in this, I don't think. We're going to start with our members. It's M's now. Our motto, our message, our meaning, our money, our music. Now we're on our members. It's a privilege to become a member of a Bible-believing local New Testament church. That's a privilege. Now, I want you to consider the following concerning membership here at this church. What we're going to look at, first of all, is reasons to become a church member. Then we'll look at requirements to become a church member. Then we'll look at receptions to become a church member. Now, that's not food and drink there. That's how you can be received, okay? And then responsibilities of a church member. And then the rights of a church member, okay? This will carry us through the remainder of the book. I'll probably only get through the first point here. First of all, the reasons to become a church member. Why should you become a member of a church that you have prayed about? By the way, you should never join a church that you've not prayed about it first. You need to pray about it. You need to ask. Now, a majority of you here are church members. Some of you are not. Some of you are searching. Some of you are wondering, is this the place for me? All of that. Feel no pressure from us. I do not believe in pressuring people. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Because the fact of the matter is, God knows if He wants you to join this church or not. You don't need to join this church unless God tells you to, is what I'm trying to say. Okay? Once He tells you to, then you need to do that. And if it's here, let me just give you some reasons to at least think about church membership. First of all, it's a place to glorify God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Secondly, it's the New Testament pattern. This is the pattern that we find in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47 says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, you notice I have that underlined, added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, He added to the church, daily such as should be saved. Acts 5, verses 12 to 14. Acts 5, 12 to 14. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. So we see that becoming a member of a church body, baptized believers, it's a place to glorify God together. It's the New Testament pattern. Number three, it's a place to carry out the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And that's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very familiar there. He's speaking to the local church of the day. See, that's key to understand that. He's not just speaking to this person or that person or this person. He's speaking to a body of organized believers. He's speaking to the local church of that day. God gave the Great Commission to the local church. It's important for you to understand that. He gave the work of world evangelization to local churches. That's what He did. That's why we're focused here in our mission program of planting churches. Because let me say this to you. World evangelism is too big for individuals, but it's not too big for local assemblies. And when local assemblies around the world start popping up and then they start reproducing themselves with other local churches, then every one of those local churches become a gospel-centered ministry, and they go out from there and they go out from there and they go out from there. It has always been God's plan to evangelize the world through the church. Amen. You need to understand that. You need to get that. In other words, if you ever separate yourself from the local church and you say, I'm going to win the world, you're fooling yourself. That will not happen, because God has planted and established the local church. His blessing is upon it. Friends, world evangelization is God's idea. Amen. He wants the world evangelized, and He's got the plan to do it. It's through local churches. And individual Christians within those local churches, some of them go out to start another church, some of them reproduce themselves here. That's the will of God. Acts 13, 1 and 2. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He says it right here in verse number 1. He's talking to the church and says, "Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called." God works through the local church. Are you with me or are you asleep out there tonight? He works through the local church primarily. I'm not saying that he can't use a radio ministry or a television ministry. Thank God for all those avenues. But that's not his primary use. He uses the local church. Okay? So this is another good reason to join one. Another reason, it's a place to worship the Lord and keep the ordinances. This is found in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 34. Also Matthew 28, 19. It's a place that's set aside to worship the Lord and to keep the ordinances, talking about baptism and the Lord's Supper. If you'll flip the page, if you have the book, it's a place to grow in the Lord. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 says this: "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we are all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, the edifying of itself in love." Can I paraphrase? He's talking to the church at Ephesus. And he says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Here it is. God comes to the church. He sends pastors. He sends teachers. He sends evangelists as his love gift to the local church. So those in the local church, through their preaching, through their teaching, through their admonishing, they are perfected. That word perfected carries the idea of mending nets. For instance, back in Bible days, they would fish a lot with nets. And they would get their nets marred, they would get them tangled, they would get things inside of them, maybe cut and stuff like that. So they would drag their nets back to land, and they would mend their nets so they could go right back out and fish some more. You know what God gave the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist to the church for? To help drag you to land. You're coming to land. You've been out at sea all week. You come in here with your net, sometime marred, sometime mangled, sometimes cut, sometimes you're bleeding, sometimes you're hurting, sometimes you're on the mountaintop, sometimes you're in the valley, and the preacher gets up and the Holy Spirit of God gives you something you need and says, "Man, I needed that." Has that ever happened to you? That's why he gave a pastor to the church. To mend your nets. So you can go out and work in the ministry. He brings you to church to get you straight, or encourage you, or bless you, or convert. Or I'm talking about to challenge you or convict you, whatever it is, so you can go right back out into the sea of life and try to fish some more for people. This is one good reason. Another one: to join a local church, because it's a place where you grow in the Lord. It's a place where you're mended, you're perfected. Then it's a place to find encouragement and fellowship with believers. Now, I've just given you Galatians chapter 6. I'm not going to read that, but that's a good passage to read about this. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers." Let me encourage you. I'm sure that most of you have probably been doing this. Let me encourage you to do it more. Get to know people in this local body. especially in, and by, if you're not in Sunday school, get in a Sunday school class. Get in and fellowship with other believers. Let me tell you something. There is hardly anything like like-minded Christians, especially when you're going through something that you need help with. This is a great reason to become a member of a local church, because of fellowship and encouragement. Then we've already preached on this, but let me do it's a place to bring tithes and offerings. I've already preached on that. God does not want you to send your tithe down to the farm, you know, down the street. He wants you to send it through the local church. And then it's the pillar and ground of the truth. This place, the local church, is the pillar and ground of the truth. So I encourage you, reasons to join a local church. These are several good reasons here, but I emphasize to you, just in case you're here tonight and you like this church, but you're not a member of this church, let me encourage you. I'm not trying to force you to join this church. God knows my heart on that. I'm just encourage you to pray about it, see how the Lord leads. These are good reasons to join a church, whether it's this one or another one of like faith. But you need to join the church when God tells you, where God tells you, and not before. Not before. Everybody understand what I'm saying to you? Okay? Now, I know right now it's a little strange, because sometimes I'm preaching through books, sometimes I'm preaching a topical series, sometimes I pull this out, and I pulled this out on you tonight. But these are things you need to understand tonight. If you're a church member, it's a good thing to be a church member. It's a privilege to be a church member. It's a responsibility to be a church member. We get to that later on, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Pray that you'll help us tonight. May the will of God be done. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you do your will, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm just going to have her just to begin to play through softly. I know that this is the introduction book to Buffalo Ridge. This is just simply opening the door of the church and letting you come in and see some of the gears that make it run and all that. I know it's a little different tonight, but I never want to take for granted that everybody here is a born-again child of God. Even in a service like this, where I'm speaking on the money of the church and becoming a member of the church, maybe God's speaking to your heart about even becoming a member of His family. So as she begins, just to play through something of your own choosing, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you died just like you are you 100% sure that you are going to heaven? Is there one tonight say, Jody, if I died just like I am not 100% sure. Is there anybody like that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. But just so I know how to proceed. Is there one say, Jody, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. But I sure would like to be. I'm not, but I'd like to be. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand, put it right back down? Anybody at all? Put it up, put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I pray that you'll bless this now. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look this way. We'll call the church in.